What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast. It's episode 114 and our first episode in about 3 weeks. Today, we're just going to be kind of discussing what we've seen through the second half of the season. DeAndre Ayton's resurgence, you could call it. DeAndre Ayton's assurgence. I don't even know if that's a word. But since the All-Star break, he has been a crazy good player. They've been running the offense through him. Of course, we'll check in on the standings, see where we line up in the lottery. And then just overall thoughts, how we're doing, Scoot, Shaden, any updates injury-wise between from Shaden and all the other guys. A lot to talk about, but not a lot to talk about at the same time. West, have you been checking in? Have you been checking out full Blazer games recently? Or are you more like me where we're kind of just like checking in here and there?
I'm checking in scores maybe throughout the night. A lot of the times it's, Blazers lost. Gotcha. I don't really have time to watch Blazer games. And if I did, I don't know if that's what I would be using my time on right now. It's that time of the year, guys, where this is the dead zone. It's like post-trade deadline. It were not to the last month of the year, like the month of March. Like this is the time where it's either like checkout time, or if you're a good team, it's like check-in time. We're going to go on a run, because the Blazers used to go on this March run a lot, and it'd be a very fantastic time for the fan base. But now, with a team that is 18-46, I think we're just looking forward to maybe April, the last couple games, and into the draft and the lottery. I don't really have much to talk about in terms of like what a pressing issue we need to talk about first. I think Ayton is a good starting point. I don't know if it was the last podcast or the podcast before, but we've kind of put out a challenge to Ayton almost in saying like, you are 25 years old. You're the shining piece of this Damian Lillard return, the return we got for Lillard in that trade. You know, what can you do for us outside of, you know, not being able to get to a game because of ice, you know? I'm just kidding. But yeah, he's been great recently. I'm curious as to your thoughts, because he's seemed to get a lot more touches, a lot more of a focal point on the offense. So I'll let you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it right on the head right there with just more of a focal point. And now we're finally seeing what he can do as that focal point, because post All-Star break, he's only played 5 games because he had that quick little injury where he was out a couple games. But in the 5 games post All-Star break, he's averaging 22.4 points per game, 14.6 rebounds on 61% from the field. That is a 9-point jump compared to pre All-Star break. That is a 4-rebound jump. That is a 5 percentage point jump on field goal percentage, and a six shot jump from before the All-Star break to now. So he's getting a lot more touches, and he's doing better with those touches. I think that just kind of shows to what Ayton is as a player. Now, again, it's not necessarily contributing to wins, because like we're not trying to win right now, so it's not really a big deal. And I don't know. Maybe that's like Ayton's play style. Maybe he is the definition of an empty stats guy. You never know. Like maybe he can put up the best stats ever with him being the focal point, but you're not going to win with him being a focal point. But I do think it's something that we've seen with Ayton. Like when he's more locked in, he plays a lot better, and he's more locked in when he gets more touches. It's a lot similar to Nurk in the past couple of years. Just Nurk was obviously not as talented as Ayton is offensively. So I've really liked what I've seen from him. I mean, every time I check the box score, I mean, it's like 22-16, 26-11, or just crazy numbers like this. Like he hit 30-19 in that overtime win against Toronto. That was a fun game. I did go back and watch the highlights of that. In the loss to Charlotte, he had 26-19. Speaking of that loss to Charlotte, we talked about that in the last podcast and how that was a big game to lose. And we did, in fact, lose it. We'll do a standings update here in the future. But Ayton's been great. I mean, this is kind of the things you want to see at the like post-trade deadline, post-All-Star break. Like, you just want to get some like positive momentum going into the offseason, going into next year. Like, I would love to see Scoot go on a big two-week stretch here to end the season. I would love to see Anthony consistently put in 26-7 instead of like these like 35 point pops and then an 18 point performance. So those are the things I'm kind of looking for.
Yeah, I will say the one positive when you're a team that does not have any winning aspirations post trade deadline, and it's kind of like you're just dragging on to the end of the year. One positive and one thing to look for us as fans is who's going to be that guy this year to kind of go on that run to end the season. It was Ant, you know, a couple years ago, Shaden last year, where it was kind of like these last 15 games of the year, it's an opportunity for these young guys to be like, I can put up numbers and play good basketball. And it's almost like a launching pad into the following season. I mean, Sharp, of course, played last year and was an important part. And then, you know, once Dame went down, he kind of was thrust into that like development. Like, we're going to give you 15 games of the number one option, go develop. And it was a jumping off point. And because of him playing so well in those last 15 games, it almost was like the fans all of a sudden were like, Shaden Sharp, future like all-star, you know? So it's crazy what the last couple games of the season can do for the perception of a player going into the offseason. Briefly on Ayton, you brought up you don't know if he could be a focal point in a winning team. And I think that's a very fair thing to say. It's what I was going to say. It's unfair to talk about right now because, of course, it's not in the cards to win right now. And you can't blame Ayton for that. But I think it's very fair to ask is, can Ayton still have the same intensity level and motor when games matter type thing?
Like, and when he's not necessarily getting 17 shots again.
When you're in a standings race, when you're fighting for playoff seeding and games, you know, truly do matter. And then also, can he be, forget even number one, can he be a number two option on a top five team in the league? I mean, that's when you go back to the to those Phoenix teams or the Phoenix team that went to the finals. It was Book, and then was it Ayton or was it CP3?
Yeah, I mean, it was really kind of both of them,
right? So
was that guy?
Yeah. So I think that's the questions we need to ask as this rebuild continues, and we don't need to ask them right now. It's very early. I'm not here to, I feel like what we're doing, it's like Ayton, it's like, we're like, Ayton, you need to play well. He starts playing well. And then we're like, well, can he do it here? And then we need to chill out. We're just posing some questions that are going to be asked down the line. Just, you know, you can think about it. Just an early think.
That's yeah. All. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the situation we're in. We're just like, we can play as good as we want. Like, players individually can play. Like, Anfernee could be putting up 30 and 10, and
you could ask the same thing about Ant.
Like, are you gonna do it when we're winning? So
yeah, you could ask that about Ant too.
It's a hard thing to do, especially as a franchise that kind of got used to winning, like, on a consistent level, not a high winning level, but a consistently, like, we were in the playoffs, obviously, what was it, like 8-9 years in a row. One of the guys that I think that won't get like the level of the Shaden Sharp, Anfernee Simons treatment, but we'll get like the, oh, this guy is a part of our future. And I'm sorry, he's not, I don't think. And it's Delano Banton, because Banton's had some crazy good games in the past couple weeks. I mean, post All-Star break, he's averaging 14, 4, and 3, and he's shooting like almost 40% from 3. And he had that one crazy game where he had like 25, and then he had another game where he had 30. That's just a product of him being one of the only consistently healthy players. So is Delano Banton a part of our future? No. He's probably, he could be gone in the offseason. But I just thought that was funny that a lot of the fans were like, Joe Cronin cooked this trade deadline. Like, Joe Cronin didn't cook. He didn't poop the bed either. He just did nothing. Like,
yeah, that was, I was trying to remember, we've done a pod post trade deadline, right? Okay.
I think so just one.
We talked about it, but yeah, Ban was our prize deadline acquisition. So do with that as you will. But yeah, like you said, he's played 13 games here, averaging about 14. Again, for me, it's one of those things. It's like, not to diminish what he's been doing, but someone's got to score. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's kind of, it's very hard though, because some people might ask, well, what's the difference between this year, well, someone's just got to score, and last year, Sharp being like the next MVP type thing, like that reaction. And I think where it comes from is like, we drafted Sharp in the lottery, and Banton was like and it's not Banton's fault, but the perspective and the narrative around him is like, oh, that we just settled so hard at the deadline. We just got some rando type thing. And you can't really control that if you're him. But he's been playing good. But like you said, he's a guard. We got guards. We got guards.
And another thing with the shading thing, like even I kept saying this throughout the offseason, like honestly, in the games that he played, let me just make sure I'm remembering this right. Like Shaden averaged 16 and pretty sure shot the ball. Okay, wasn't efficient. Shot 40% from the field, 33% from three. Like everyone that was like, Shaden's about to come in and win most improved player, I was like, hold the phone. All he did last year was play 20 good games when he was getting all the shots and playing against not bad teams because other teams were trying, but like getting all the shots and being the focal point of the offense. Like, can we please see him in a normal situation? And we really kind of got a chance to see it, but not really. Like, I'm sure Shaden would have got those numbers better if he was healthier throughout the season. But no matter what happens in the final month of the season, I don't want, like I just said, I want positive momentum. I want positive momentum, but I don't want unrealistic momentum. Like, if Scoot comes out and averages 18-8 on 50% from the field here in the final month, I'm not going to go into next season saying that's what Scoot needs to average next year for it to be a success. Now, I would like Scoot to be better next year, of course. If he's not, then we've got major issues. But especially with, I'm sure, Jeremy's on the injury report every night now. Like, Jeremy will probably miss of what? What do we have, like 18 games left, you said?
Yeah.
I'm sure Jeremy's going to miss at least like 6 to 8 of those. I'm sure Simons is going to miss 5 games. I'm sure Aiden's going to miss. All these guys are probably going to miss games down the stretch because once we go into the standings watch, like we've got bigger goals than wins this year. We need losses. That's our goal. Yeah. So the final month of the season, yeah, I can gain positive momentum, but it's also kind of an unrealistic time of the year because it's like, you're not playing
it's just not your
anything
team
at all. You're not playing for anything at all. So, like,
yeah, and
that's why it's like we have to pose the question to Aiden, but it's a fine line. You don't want to pose the question and be like, oh, this doesn't matter at all. So why even play well? But you also want to see them play well. So,
it's tough. It's also, there aren't, you know, it's really not your normal starting five. Like you said, if Scoot comes out averaging 18-8 on 50% shooting, but he's getting up 20 shots a game, I mean, you don't expect him to get 20 shots a game to start the year with Jeremy, Aiden, and Simons ahead of him on the pecking order. So that's where fans just need to do, and us, our due diligence and not overreact or underreact. And I was going to say enjoy these last games, but it's probably hard to enjoy them when you're getting smoked constantly. Our most recent game, actually, we played Boston. Like, okay, well, just kidding. We lost by 22, but it's Boston. We have been playing teams pretty tough, though. You know, beat the Grizzlies twice, lost to the T-Wolves by 5, Thunder by 8. I mean, you know.
I mean, we saw earlier in the year, we played the T-Wolves and Thunder back-to-back, and we lost by, like, 35 and 60. So, like, it is improvement.
Improvement.
If you want to call it that.
That's what you like to see.
But coming down to the end of the year, like, the biggest game, this is going to sound, like, super sarcastic, but the biggest games of the year is that we play at the Hornets on April 3rd. And realistically, that is probably the biggest game coming down the stretch, because if you turn to the standings, Detroit, Washington aren't catching us. They're 7 wins behind us. San Antonio realistically could arguably catch us, 4 games behind. Probably not, though. Charlotte, on the other hand, 2 games behind. They haven't been playing the worst basketball recently. No other team is going to drop below us. Like, we are locked into the top 5 of odds. But, and I'm going to let you just like yap here for a second while I look up what the odds are, but I'm pretty sure top 4 is a difference. Like, the difference between top 4 and top 5 is,
yes,
a solid difference. But let me look.
Yes, I believe, I know first, second, and third, maybe fourth, it's all like 14%-ish. Or it's like 1 and 2 are 14, 3 okay. is 12. You have it?
1, 2, 3 is 14%. Okay. 4 is 12.5%. 5 is 10.5%. So, I mean, 2.5% is a big deal. Obviously, we would love to get into the top 3, which is like realistic, but not realistic.
It wasn't last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, odds wise, not actually jumping. I did say my hot take was we were gonna have the first overall pick. And I said Anthony was gonna average 28 points per game.
That is tough because there is an element of luck now. You can't just be awful and win 10 games. Just for fun. Who do you think finishes with the worst record, Detroit or Washington?
Hey, Washington. Detroit actually looks like competent recently. Washington Kuzma, is so man. Bad.
Kuzma. Yeah, my thoughts on the standings is it's really probably a race between us and Charlotte to who sneaks into the top four, which that was a really pathetic thing to say. fight for fourth worst record.
I mean, hopefully, ideally, I'll go to the Blazers-Charlotte game and I'll be rooting hard against them. But actually, I probably won't. I want us to win.
It is weird, though, because I think it's funny how fans are just, we're competitive and we want to see our team win. So when we need to lose, we want them to lose. Like, we're just like, we always want to beat another team. So now we want to beat a team that's losing, which is just really weird to me. Because in the end, it probably won't matter that much. It always could. But like you said, 2.5% chance difference. 2.5% chance difference. Yeah. And there's, I feel like there's always someone in the top three that like drops out. Like it was like Houston last year, or maybe top four.
It was, I think it was Detroit last year. Detroit had the worst record in the NBA, and they got like the fifth pick.
They got fifth, right? Because, yeah.
Because we jumped.
There's always a team that I feel like could jump. So honestly, if you're not, the difference between fourth and fifth is not huge, but I mean, we gotta be rooting for something. So I mean,
let me do a tankathon real quick.
Doing a tankathon, guys.
Tankathon puts us at the seventh pick with Ron Holland.
Ew.
And then also with the 13th pick, and we just continue to get mocked to get Donovan Klingon out of UConn. Let me just do one more just for fun. Fourth pick, Cody Williams, and then 13th pick, Donovan Klingon. Okay. Are you going to the, or maybe Blazers do play the Hawks in 2 weeks, the 27th?
I think we are going. Yes.
You should.
Yeah. Watch a good game. You know, usually with my luck going to games, usually all our good players sit and we get a Tim Frazier 48 minutes game. I went to that one. Yeah. I went to that game in Atlanta.
We went to one game this year. We lost to the Wizards. I can't remember the last time I went to a Blazer game and we won, because we went to the Wizards game earlier this year. We lost. Last year, we went to the – did you go to the Hawks game last year? No, I don't think you did.
No.
Well, we lost that game. And then we lost – oh, we saw them win against the Rockets when we went on that little Texas road trip.
Oh, yeah, the little Texas swing.
Yeah.
I'm looking up the 2024 – mock draft, and I'm just curious. I haven't looked at it in a little bit. I want you to guess.
Ooh.
This is one day ago. Just kidding. That's March Madness edition. That takes away basically the good picks. Let's do Bleacher Report. Yeah. 2024 mock draft. This was from 1 week ago. All right, who's going number one? You don't have to guess who's the team, but just like, who do you think's going one?
Sarr?
Correct. Alexander Sarr. He's 7'1". He's 216 pounds. You know, honestly, the rest of this pod is just a mock draft pod, okay? The rest of this draft. The rest of this pod is about more the draft, because that's what we care about.
This is important to us. My thoughts on Sarr. Here, I'll try to give a little bit of thoughts on everybody. I don't know much about Sarr. I know he's 7'1" and can technically play the power forward, which is very interesting, because when I first thought of Sarr, I was thinking like, oh, if we get Sarr, then he's our future, not Ayton. But I guess there's a realistic world where Sarr could start next to Ayton. I don't know if he can shoot well, because obviously Ayton's not a three-point shooter. But it seems like Sarr has some of the best shot-blocking tendencies since Wimby, so since last year's draft. seriousness, like he's a monster defensively, I'm pretty sure.
You want to guess his pro comp?
AD.
Close. Younger.
Mobley?
That also close. Jaren Jackson Jr.
Jaren Jackson. Okay, so but he is shot blocking. So he can shoot?
He is 18. He's 7'1". Yeah, he's made 16 threes and 13 of 28 pull-ups. So I mean,
looks like he's got a little potential.
But here's the thing, like, even if he can't shoot right now, he's 18. So
true.
Number two.
He's
also French.
Topic guy?
No, he's French.
No, oh, like OZ.
It's Zachary.
Zachary something.
Probably not. I couldn't be spelling or pronouncing it wrong. Like Rissosher.
Yeah, I don't know anything about right. him.
Yeah, I'll just go through him. Small forward, 6'8". He's also 18. His pro comp is Michael Porter Jr., so it sounds like he doesn't pass and he can shoot. He has a very safe mix of positional size, athleticism, strong defensive tools, and a 45% three-point stroke.
Sounds like a guy that we could be interested in. You said small forward?
Small forward.
I mean, 18. Get that little French connection, him and Rupert just holding down the wings the next 10 years. That's interesting. A guy that can
number
shoot.
Number three.
Topic?
Yes, Topic. They have him going to the Spurs, which would make sense.
Yeah, they need a point guard.
They need a point guard to literally pass Wimby the ball. He's Serbian. He's 6'6", and he's 18. His pro comp is Dragic.
Ooh, that's kind of
Dragic. Honestly, to me, I don't want him.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, definitely not. I don't want guards.
Well, I know, but also just like I just want like a shiny, tall, rangy defender, like dude that looks like a freak. And Topic is not. I mean, he's 6'6", but still. Number four to the Hornets here.
Hornets, is that like freaking Rob Dillingham?
No, it is. We saw him play in person.
We saw him play in person?
Yeah, we did. At the Les Schwab.
Oh, Ron Holland?
Ron Holland, number four.
Makes sense. They don't need a... they could use maybe a guard.
Yeah, it says they hit big on Brandon Miller. So, you know, Ron Holland's explosive. He's 6'6". He's also 18. His pro comp is Cam Whitmore, which is kind of funny, but... all right, who do they have the Blazers taking at five?
Cody Williams.
I'll tell you, his pro comp is Lamar Odom.
So...
he's Lithuanian-American.
Matas Buzelis?
Yes.
Honestly, I feel like his draft stock's kind of fallen recently. I really don't know. I think he's just kind of an all-around guy.
Yeah, I'll read his thing. So
his position of need, so.
Because, yeah. He's good at attacking in space with his ball handling, good body control, good positional size. He also has bounce that pops at both ends. People wish his shooting was more consistent, but there's optimism around his stroke and he has flashes of shot-making versatility, of hitting tough or off-balance jumpers. And it says some teams might give him the edge over his teammate Ron Holland, who isn't as big or convincing from outside. Number six, we'll go to 10 because that's actually, we'll just do the lottery because that's our window. Number six is Reed Sheppard.
Yeah, he's good.
Yep, he's nice. His pro comp is DiVincenzo. I love that actually. I'm not going to read anything like about him. Sheppard. You'll get to watch him in March Madness, so watch him.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Seven, same thing. Rob Dillingham. Just going bucket. To the Spurs via the Raptors. Yeah, he's a bucket. Pro comp is Lou Will.
Wow, Spurs getting Dillingham and Topic. They're just really trying to get that guard next to Wimby. That would honestly be kind of good.
Wow, the Spurs will steal the Raptors' pick if it's outside the top six. So Raptors could have some incentive to just not win another game.
You literally.
Wow. Okay, the Rockets.
Jacoby Walter.
No, this guy was like had some number one buzz Cody? For a little bit. Yeah, Cody Williams.
Yeah.
His brother is Jalen Williams, even though his pro comp is Jaden McDaniels. So, which makes is a sense. Pretty good comp, honestly. Number nine is Filipowski. No, thank you.
Get out of here.
His pro comp is Santi Aldama.
That's mid.
Yeah, I mean, Filipowski, I'm curious to see what he will be like because he kind of gives me like, he's definitely better than like, or sorry, his tools translate better to the NBA than like a Luka Garza type, but you just never know with like those like bigs in college. You know,
I think Filipowski will be like serviceable and be a good I don't think he has star potential at all.
Yeah, that's fine. Devin Carter to the Thunder.
Where's he from?
Providence. He is 21, and his pro comp is Podemski from Golden State. Looks like he's very good on defense, and he's kind of just a jack of all trades, kind of like the – he's probably very – I mean, he's 21, so he's pro more pro-ready, kind of lower ceiling, higher floor guy, it sounds like. Number 11 is Klingon. Going to the Thunder, which would be good for them because they need some insurance. Chet, also, if you don't know, he's 7'2". Go watch him in March Madness. Isaiah Collier to the Bulls. That sounds gross. I don't think he's that good, to be honest.
He's just been hurt, and he just plays on a USC team that's been so underwhelming. I think he's just like a little one-dimensional maybe, but I don't know. I haven't watched him enough.
I mean, he's 6'5". That's higher. That's bigger than I thought he was.
So
it
bulky.
Says the Blazers. Who are the Blazers taking with the 13th pick? Never heard of this guy.
Is he international?
He is American, but he plays for the Ignite.
Oh, I don't know then.
Tyler Smith,
man. That's a generic American right there.
Pro comp is Channing Frye. So scouts debate whether Tyler Smith is merely a spot-up shooter or a more versatile inside-out scorer. At 6'11", a convincing stroke and strong finishing tool should draw top 20 interest. But Smith has fans around the league who take him earlier than mid-first round. The ability to catch, rise, and fire from anywhere could turn him into a more useful, dangerous scoring threat. Okay, cool. And then the last lottery pick is Terrence Shannon Jr. from Illinois.
He's good.
He's got, like, incredible athleticism. Although he does have some legal things he has to get through, obviously.
True.
So, you might not even see him get drafted. But those are kind of the guys. Obviously, I think I would love Sarr, but he looks like a top two pick. So
maybe not. If not Sarr, I want a guy like Cody Williams. I mean, that the second dude you said, the French guy, sounds great. I don't know enough about him to know if he's
the MPJ comp.
Yeah, just like a guy like that. Maybe
Zachary,
like Ron Holland isn't a terrible guy to get. I mean, he fits the mold. Like, what if, like, we even went for a guy like, I mean, I'm just on Tankathon, and with the 14th pick, they got the Pelicans taking Dalton Knecht. Like,
well, I want a guy. Actually, I'll take it back. Both guys we draft in the first round better be over 6'7".
Okay, that's fair. Knecht is 6'6", but I mean, he's technically a small forward. Like, I just know he can score the ball like crazy. And like, do we need a scorer or do we not need a scorer? It's hard to know. Like, I think the thing you want the most is defensive and just like rangy, athletic.
I want a tall, rangy, defensive gem who can shoot.
So like Zach Edey
shoot.
Maybe sneak Harrison Ingram in the second round.
I'm thinking.
Or PJ Hall. Wow, they have PJ Hall going to the Blazers in Tankathon at the 40th pick. And Devin Carter. Tankathon has Devin Carter at the 34th pick.
Wow, Bleacher had him at 10th.
Who knows? Like that, I guess maybe that shows how weird this draft is. That like outside the first like six, no one knows where anyone's going.
Like Topic? Like I haven't seen him play.
Yeah, me neither.
Where if we pick Moutier
or Dante Exum vibes.
If we pick him, I'll be so mad.
No shot we take a point guard. Is there anything else you want to discuss, or is that kind of it?
Yeah, that's all I got, man.
That's all I got, too. Let us know. By the way, final thing. Ever since we did that, let me get my phone so I can look at the schedule. Ever since we did that last pod, the Blazers have been...
I think we won 3 games.
When did we do that pod? We did it in February. We did it... just right after, during the All-Star break. So we lost to the Nuggets, lost to the Hornets, lost to the Heat. We beat the Grizzlies twice and the Raptors. We won 3 games. We went 3-1, 2-3-4, 3-7. So we had 10 games. We have 18 games left. We said under 21.5 wins. Are you standing by that?
I got to look at the...
going over that. Because I think if I have to look at the schedule, the games we will be favored in the rest of the way... I mean, if we're not favored at home against the Hawks right now, then we're not going to be favored at any of these other games. Like, maybe the only game we're favored in, we'll probably maybe be favored at Wizards, favored maybe at Hornets, and maybe at home versus the Rockets or something. But do you think we win 4 more games?
Let me see. No. Yes, yeah. Ooh, it's gonna be close. I'm gonna say under though.
I think we go under two. I think we end with 21s. Not even 21.
20.
We find a way to do it every year, and I think that's what we're best at. So we're gonna keep on doing it.
Do you think? How about this? Do you think we catch or the Hornets catch? We catch the Hornets or the Hornets
do
catch
I think
us?
We I think the Hornets pass us. Yeah,
that'd be sick.
That would be great. And I think in the final week of the season, we'll be fighting with the Spurs.
Fighting with the Spurs. Wimby's insane, but the rest of the team do not.
All right, all right. That's it. Let us know if you think we're going over 21 and a half wins in the comments below. And we'll see you guys next time. Peace.